This morning, I want to talk to us a little bit about what I believe is our opportunity in all of this. We've been singing, or you've heard out there on the in Facebook Live, many have been singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." And that's a great thought to have, but that's not the only thought we need to have. But in terms of giving context to what seems to be a very simple chorus, let me just share this passage of scripture, and then I want to come back to a more intentional thought for our time. It's in Colossians 1, starting at verse 15. It says this. This is from the Message Bible. It says, "We look at this sun and see God, who cannot be seen. We look at this sun, S-O-N, and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together right up to this moment." So I guess you could say he's got the whole world in his hands. It goes on and says this, "And when it comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He is supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. From beginning to end, he's there, towering far above everything, everyone. So spacious is he, so roomy that everything of God finds its proper place in him, without crowding. Not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies. All because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross." Make no mistake about it, it is God who's holding it all together. In James chapter 1, verse 23 and 25, it says this, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." I want to just, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought, it's time to look in the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror. Where we find ourselves, as many have stated, is not a surprise to God. And if we, as believers, have been reading our Bibles, studying the Word, it should not be a surprise to us. It really shouldn't be. Now, while we don't know the details of what's happening, Jesus said that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, that there will be plagues and there will be pestilence and there will be earthquakes. And he says, in all these signs, you need to know that when you see these signs, they are leading to my return. But some can have the question, and some do have the question, where is God in all of this? Where is God in all of this? Well, my answer to you is, go look in the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror. Now, I'm talking to those that are born again, those that are part of the body of Christ, those that are part of the kingdom of God. It's time to look in the mirror, meaning this, that we can say, God, what are you doing? God, what are you going to do? And he says, go look in the mirror. Because here's the thing, and I make this point very emphatically and intentionally, because I continue to say that God is in charge. God is in charge. Now, many are saying God is in control. But I say God is in charge of those in control. Now, let me give you a little more of an example to help you. And I'm not talking semantics here. I'm not trying to say something that's deep. This is just my reality, and it has to do with my personal DNA of my relationship with God that has always been in a very deep place. Now, I'm not saying I'm deep. I'm just saying I've always sought after the deep things of God. And so when God spoke to me the phrase, God is in charge, and then gave me the chorus, which many times we have sung, and it's recorded, and you can find it out there on iTunes, Facebook, on YouTube, whatever, that God is in charge. I did not write it as something to try to be clever. I was writing out of an image that I saw, a revelation that I was receiving. That says, God is in charge, though men may say not so. God is in charge, the heavens declare it so. The universe's splendor speaks of his sovereignty. He's God of all creation, hear me now, and he's in charge of everything. God is in charge. He calls the stars by name. God is in charge. His power is still the same. He knows the times and seasons, the hearts of men defined. In him is strength and wisdom, the breath of all mankind. What do I mean when I say God is in charge, but not necessarily in control? And I know there would be people out there that, and you may write me and share your opinion, but here's my thought with that. How many of you enjoy going to restaurants? Let me see, yeah, if you're out there in cyber world, I see you responding. How many of you enjoy a nice meal? How many of you get the menu and you order your food, and sometimes they have the picture so you have a good idea of what it is you're getting, and you're sitting there and you're waiting for that food to come and your server's waiting on you, and they bring you the food and the food doesn't look anything like the picture. As a matter of fact, maybe it's not even what you ordered at all, or maybe it is what you ordered and you tasted it and it just was not right. And you call the server back over, and you ask this question. And the question is not who's in control. The question is who's in charge? Who's the manager? The question is who's in charge here? Now, I need you to think about this for a minute, because I'm going somewhere with this. You ask, or that's what I ask, who's in charge? I go somewhere where I'm going and I'm taking maybe I'm going to the dry cleaners, I take my clothes and I say, I need these back and such and such and such, and they say, well, I can't do that. And I had that happen one time, and I said, well, did y'all change your policy here? Because this is the way I always do. He says, well, I don't know, but we can't do that. I said, okay, where is so-and-so? Because what I'm saying is, okay, clearly your authority or your knowledge is limited. I need the person that's in charge. Is this making sense to you? You take your car in and you get your car serviced, and the salesperson comes to you and they tell you something about your car, or they fix it or they don't fix it right, and you take your car back. You're looking for who's in charge at that point. Is this making sense to you? See, the one in charge has the authority and the final say, not necessarily the person in control. When you're not satisfied with service, you ask who's in charge, not who's in control. It's in Luke chapter 4 where we see clearly Jesus understood this, because it's in Luke chapter 4 where Jesus, and this is what it says, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Said he ate nothing during these days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And he said, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours. Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now, recognize what it just said. All of this has been given, handed over to me. What's he talking about? You see, God is in charge. He created man to be in control. Meaning this, Adam was to be in control of everything happening down here. But when Adam fell and they were cast out of the garden, everything was transferred over to the devil. That's why he says it right here. Showed him all the kingdoms in a moment's time, and the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me. Jesus did not contest it because he couldn't contest it. But Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he knew it was just going to be a matter of time. And the reason why I'm wanting to make this point clear for us is, except that you and I are thinking from this perspective, you keep looking, praying out of a place of, God, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? God, what you gonna do? God, what you gonna do? And he's saying, go look in the mirror. Your answer is in the mirror. Your answer is you. Your answer is me. Your answer is the church. The answer is the body of Christ. Hey, my. I just felt something right there. Because you see, if we don't understand this, then we could miss this moment. We could miss this moment and this opportunity of what God is doing. So if you've been saying that God is in control, I want you to shift that and say God is in charge. Now, God is in charge, meaning that eventually the people that are in control have to answer to the person that's in charge. That's why when you go someplace and the service isn't what you want the service to be or didn't go the way you want, they know they're going to have to answer to the person in charge if they don't get it right. God is in charge, though men may say not so. Same faith, same God. So Jesus allowed Satan to say what he was saying because he knew at that time what he was saying he had a right to say. But he knew at the appointed time all of that was going to shift. That's why Jesus continually kept things in a certain place, and that was whatever the Father said to do, that's what he did. Because he knew Dad's in charge. Dad's in charge. My Father is in charge. I only do that which I see the Father do. One of the things right now for us, as we hear all these different prophetic words, is this is what God is doing, this is what God is doing, this is what God is doing, and I believe every one of them has a part of the whole statement, even as this is just one part of the whole statement for the body of Christ, for us here at Ayers Covenant Church. But our God is sovereign. And what is happening right now, God, who is in charge, is working his plan in the midst of everything that's happening. And as the church, as the body of Christ, he has given to us authority to be able to speak into the situations and see change happen. That's why prayer is so powerful and so needed. Because as we pray, God, who is in charge, works his will and his plan. Now, I want to give another example to help you understand how God moves and how he sets in place those who are in control in order to work his plan, because he is in charge. And then I want to challenge you, because a lot of times we keep looking for others to be the answer when the Father is saying, when Jesus is saying, you need to look in the mirror because you are my answer. The church is the answer. We just have not walked it out the way that God has intended. It's in the book of Ezra, Ezra chapter 1, where we see the sovereign hand of God moving in an incredible way. Listen to this. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whoever there is among you of all of his people, may his God be with you. Let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is the God whom is in Jerusalem. And every survivor, at whatever place he may live, let the men of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. I want you to notice where he says this. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem. I've shared in a recent teaching that this is the fulfillment of the word that Jeremiah spoke in Jeremiah 29. When Jeremiah is speaking to them at the time when they are in captivity in Babylon, and they're getting a whole lot of words, a whole lot of false words about them coming out of captivity, but it's Jeremiah that comes to them and speaks the truth. Say the truth. And what we want in this hour is truth. We need truth. But he comes to them and he says, you're going to be here for a while. He says, as a matter of fact, you'll be here 70 years. You're going to be here 70 years. So God says, so you are to marry and you are to take care of your families and give your sons to wives and marry off your daughters and keep yourself strengthened. And then he says this, and pray for the welfare of Babylon, because as Babylon goes, so goes your welfare. What he is helping them understand is you're going to be in the midst of this, but God's going to take care of you. And at the end of 70 years, God is going to come and get you. God's going to set you free, and you're going to go out and be blessed as you're going out. Now, that's the word, and it was spoken 70 years before what I just read. But that's why it says here, in order to fulfill the word or the good word spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, what did God do? Y'all listening to me? What did God do? Stirred the heart of Cyrus. Come on, say he stirred the heart of Cyrus. God is in charge, but Cyrus was in control. Are you listening to me? Is this making sense to you? God was in charge. Cyrus was in control. He says, he's given me all these kingdoms. He put him in control, knowing that at the right time, he's my guy. Hey, God. And this is the power of the scriptures and the power of prophetic words. Because let me show you something here in the scriptures in Isaiah. Because before this happened, God was already telling them, I got a guy that I'm gonna tag for this at the right time. As a matter of fact, it's in Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44 verse 21, it says this. It says, remember these things, O Judah, it says, and Israel. For you are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant. O Israel, you will not be forgotten by me. I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Shout for joy, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout joyfully, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into the shout of joy, you mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and in Israel he shows forth his glory. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the one who formed you from the womb. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone, causing the omens and the boisters to fail, making fools of the diviners, causing wise men to draw back, and turning their knowledge into foolishness, confirming the word of his servant, and performing the purpose of his messengers. It is I who says, of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and the cities of Judah, they shall be built, and I will raise up her ruins again. Now, this is spoken by the prophet Isaiah before this happens here with Cyrus. And look at what it says. It is I who says to the depth of the sea, be dried up, and I will make your rivers dry. It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built, and of the temple, your foundation will be laid. God is speaking of Cyrus. But understand this dynamic. In order for that to happen, God was going to have to set him in place. And that's where he gives to him, as it says, as Cyrus says here, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me the kingdoms of the earth. He set him in this place so that at the right time, the thing that needed to happen, God, who is in charge, would work through a man he set in place who he's given control to. And whether you recognize it or not, you do have some sphere of authority and influence. It may not be at the highest level, but it is in some place and some level. That's why when we look at the book, there's a book called The Seven Mountain Prophecy. Johnny Inlow is the author of the book, and there's other books out there that speak of this concept of the seven mountains or the seven spheres that have to do with cultural influence. The thing that has impacted the church, the body of Christ, and the world as we know it, is that we did not take advantage of the opportunities we had to be in positions of control to help navigate through things in our culture and the times in which we live. In these seven mountains, it speaks media, which is the news outlets. It could be TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, the internet, government and politics, the national level, state and local level. It could be education, institutions of learning or skill development on all levels. It can be the economy or business, systems of production, distribution, consumption. Religion / the church, the service of worship of God, or the supernatural. Celebration / arts and entertainment, including sports, music, arts, fashion. And there's the family, which should be number one, because all of this should emanate out of the family, out of a godly household. The challenge is that out of all of these that I've read, media, government, politics, education, economy, business, religion, church, celebration, the arts, entertainment, family, the church, over many, many generations, have separated themselves rather than recognize as kingdom people, we're supposed to be interweaved in all of it, in every area. And so there is this playing catch up now. See, God never intended that there would be this separation. But that the kingdom of God, the church, would be so infused into everything going on that God puts key people in positions of control, believers, able to tap them on the shoulder. It's your time. You're up. Here we go. In any time, any season, any generation, anywhere. That's a good time to clap. That's the way this is supposed to be operating. That's the way this is supposed to be happening. Many of you understand that. Some of you understand that. And some of you get that. But the reason why we find ourselves in this season of many being so perplexed is because we keep looking at it like God's got to do it. God's got to do it. God's going to do it. And he's saying, I need you to go look in the mirror. You're the one. I saved you. I'm keeping you. And you have an assignment. And that assignment is in any one of these areas, any one of these spheres. Now, many of you, some of you that are here even in this place, you've understood that. And so you have found that place and you're working that assignment. But I'm talking now in the highest levels. Don't think it's strange and hear me now. You must think from a kingdom perspective. You've got to say, God, help me. Because sometimes, hear me now, sometimes you and I get caught up with somebody's personality and miss the fact that God is doing his work through them right now. God is in charge. But he is in control through his people. Let me say that again. God is in charge. He's in control through his church. He's in control through his people. He's in control through you and I as a born-again believer, yielding ourselves to him, allowing him to work through us for the purposes of the kingdom being manifested, his plans, his purposes coming to fruition, that through us there would be a righteous standard that is brought up, and it isn't out of this high spiritual place. It's just he positions you in a place of authority, a place of control, and you can make decisions. Cyrus says, God gave me all these kingdoms. He says, God gave me all these kingdoms and has appointed me, hear this now, appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Man, think about that for a minute. Because see, we can read that and we think, well, certainly, man, he must have really like been in a relationship with God for God to do that. But that's not the case at all. God is in charge. At any moment, any second, he can shut everything down. This virus, you know who has the answer to it? Go look in the mirror. We do. And you may be saying, well, I don't know anything about biochem. I don't know anything about those things. No, but you can pray. And we can pray and say, God, bring the answer now. Release the answer now. As a matter of fact, come on, just begin to pray right now. Lord, we just thank you right now for releasing the answer. We thank you for releasing the answer. We thank you for releasing the answer. As your people, we thank you for releasing the answer. You're a covenant-keeping God. We thank you now for releasing the answer. We thank you for releasing the answer. Father, we also thank you for helping us not to miss this moment. Exactly what you purpose to do as a result of this. Cause us not to miss it. 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 If there's one thing this virus thing has done, is it's leveled the playing field. Yeah, it's leveled the playing field. Because now it doesn't matter whether you got money or not. It doesn't matter whether you have education or not. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter. None of that matters. None of that matters. Because the way that they share this, anybody is susceptible to it. Can't buy your way out of it. But there is an answer. And that answer came to us over 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. He is the final answer. But the thing that you and I must be clear on is when he rose from the dead, he left us with responsibility. He left us with responsibility. In Matthew 28, in verse 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, he's making it clear what that devil said to me back in that wilderness, that ain't that anymore. He's done. He's finished. I got it now. I defeated the enemy. I defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now I got all power. Now I have all authority. But then he says this. So this is what I need you to do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you, and I am with you always to the end of the age. That's in Matthew. Then in Mark, he says this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creations. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieves shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will, if they pick up any serpents, drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It says, when the Lord had spoken these words to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them, confirming the word by signs that followed. This virus has leveled the playing field. And if there was ever a time for the church, the body of Christ, believers, to step in places of influence in every area, it's right now. It is right now. Because we, in many ways, have separated ourselves and distanced ourselves, we lost the opportunity to have influence, to have a voice. But I believe all of that is changing now. I believe all of that is changing now. And as it changes, it's important for you and I to recognize what God is doing, how he wants to do it, and who he's using to get it done. Because God is in charge and he uses whomever he will. So when God speaks to Cyrus, it isn't because Cyrus had this epiphany. It wasn't that Cyrus had this experience. No, God is in charge. He put him in control so at the right time, he would move his heart to do what it is God purposed to do. God gave a word to his people. In 70 years, I'm coming to get you. In 70 years, you're coming out. And God marks that time, marks that time, marks that time. I don't know how, I haven't researched how old Cyrus was, but somewhere in that time, I believe Cyrus was born, and Cyrus is growing up, and Cyrus is living his life, and Cyrus comes into a place of prominence, and God is marking time, and God begins to move in his world to set him in place that at the right time, in order to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, he moves the heart of Cyrus. It's in Isaiah 45 that we get even a greater glimpse of God's dealings. This is what it says in Isaiah 45 and verse 1. Thus says the Lord to Cyrus, his anointed, whom I have taken by the right hand to subdue nations before him, to loose the loins of kings. It says, to open doors before him so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the rough places smooth. I will shatter the doors of bronze and cut through their iron bars. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden wealth of secrets, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. Now listen to this. For the sake of Jacob my servant and Israel my chosen one, I have also called you by name. I will give you a title of honor, though you have not known me. What is he saying here? He's saying, because I've made an oath, a covenant with Jacob, Israel, I am now going to set you in place, give you a place of honor, place you in control, though you have not known me. Cyrus did not know God. Cyrus did not worship God. But it didn't matter, because God is in charge. It says, I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God. I will gird you, though you have not known me. Don't think it's strange that people who you and I, hear me now, who you and I look at through this saved lens, and we're saying, well, they're not saved. And God is saying, yeah, but the reason why I'm using them is because my church wasn't where it was supposed to be. And so the thing that we have to be mindful of, even in this season, the playing field is level. Don't think it's strange when God begins to move through some of the most unlikely people in some of the most untraditional ways. Church life as we've known it really is over. And I believe the shift has to do with a greater manifestation of the kingdom of God being manifested. Because that's really what this is all about. God raises up Cyrus to fulfill a word that's been spoken years before. And so the challenge for you and I, and I'm almost done, is what is our part? What is your part? What is your part as now the playing field has been leveled? Everybody's susceptible or seemingly susceptible to the same thing. This is the hour that I believe God is speaking to his church and say, it's time now. The harvest is ready. The harvest is ripe. People don't know what to do. But they're not looking for religion. They're not looking for tradition. They're looking for answers. And I believe that there is an answer that we can give as we live in a place of faith where people look at our lives and they recognize you seem to be handling this quite well. What is it about you? What is going on in your life? How are you able to kind of handle it the way that you're handling it? And that presents our opportunity. And it doesn't matter what area we're talking about. If we talk about these seven mountains, or it's the media, the government, education, the economy, the religions, the arts and celebration, or the family. No, in every one of these areas, now people are grappling for answers. And if we, the church, will pray to our Father who is in charge, he will move on the hearts of those in control. See, you can't say that God is in control and we still have babies being aborted. You can't say that God is in control and we still have mass murderers running around and bombings and shootings. You can't say that God is in control, but we can say that God is in charge. And if we will pray out of that place, pray out of that revelation, pray out of that kingdom mindset, he may just tell you, you're the answer. You're the answer on your job. You're the answer in your home. You're the answer in your community. You're the answer in your household. You're the answer. I want to be the answer. I want to be the answer. We can't keep saying he's in control, but we can say he's in charge. We are a part of his kingdom. It's in Jack R. Taylor's book, The Cosmic Initiative, that he gives this definition of the kingdom. In the dynamics of the kingdom, excuse me, the church and the gospel. I want to read these and then I want to pray for us. He says this, the kingdom of God is the eternal rule of God over everything and everybody, everywhere, for all time and eternity. It is above time, yet envelops time. It transcends time and endures time. A million billion ages ago, God's kingdom existed. A million billion years from now, it will still exist. Being eternally permanent, it wins the right to be called everything. Because everything else is either encompassed by it or will ultimately cease to be. Then he talks about the dynamics, though, of the kingdom, the church, and the gospel. It says, the kingdom of God, then, is the reign of God both in eternity and in time. The kingdom on earth is manifested by the Holy Spirit as he works through the body of Christ, the church, whose members are co-heirs with the king. Each member, hear me, each member is enrolled in what we might call Kingdom University with a major in training for reigning. Both for here and for the hereafter. The church has been entrusted with a redeeming narrative called the gospel that once proclaimed enables others to enter the kingdom as well and to understand the eternal kingdom they have been invited to enter. That leads to kingdom influence, kingdom impact, kingdom results. Where is God in all of this? It's time to look in the mirror and get an image and revelation of who God has called you to be. For every born-again believer, everything that has transpired in your life has prepared you for this moment, prepared me for this moment, prepared us for this moment. Whatever your sphere of influence is, it's prepared us for this moment. Don't be afraid. God's got us. We, as his people, simply need to acknowledge that God, you are in charge. Tell us what to do. Show us what to do. Bring us the answers in this season. Help us to know how we are to walk after this is over, because we are not supposed to go back to business as usual.